I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, my name is Muriel. I'm from South London. You are listening to Dane Baptiste Question Everything. My question is, what is your view on having more black front on television these days? Thank you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Dane Baptiste Questions Everything, a podcast for myself, comedian, writer, and occasional actor Dane Baptiste, my producer friend, Howard Cohen, a.k.a. The Hizzer.
Hello.
And a mix of very special guests pose the questions that need to be asked. And we're talking everything from...
Well, we're talking everything from Muriel, from South London's question. What is your view on having more black-fronted television? Dane has no opinions about that, so
You can take that one, Howard. You can take that one.
Well, it's fucking obvious, isn't it? It's like, and you know, I don't. It's just obvious that we are getting. I hate that we're getting better thing, but you know what? We are actually making some improvements, and long may it continue to improve.
Yeah, basically. Also, hi, Muriel. Muriel is a long-time listener and a friend of the podcast and a comedian herself. So big up yourself, Muriel. So the answer is yes. Hopefully see your face on them TV screens as well. So thank you very much.
But suffice to say, on this podcast, we ask and answer all the questions, don't we, Dane?
Absolutely. And if you do like the show, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts or follow us on Spotify and you'll never miss an episode. Or subscribe to us on Acast, the world's biggest podcast network, where you can hear all the very special questions being answered by our very special guests. With that being said, on today's show is a British culinary and creative duo. Together, they founded one of the most subversive supper clubs in London with some of the capital's hottest comedians, chefs, and restaurants. Their signature three courses, inspired by three comedy acts, with a catalogue of chef collaborations from Black Axe Mangal to Supriya Raman and comedians from Jamali Maddox to Marwan Rizwan, the duo produce events for the masses and brands from Nando's to ASOS that bring the performance to the plate. And they have a weekly show on Foundation FM. Please, welcome to the show, finally, Maria and Rhiannon from Mam Sham!
Yeah! The crowd goes
we're
wild.
We're cheering for ourselves there, guys. Don't worry.
So that was actually our fans are actually here. We're doing like a live listen. Guys, please, can you calm down?
That's the most excited any guest has got about themselves.
That's okay. I'm excited too.
It's not a compliment, was it?
I need to add some context to this. The first time I met Mam Sham was not actually on this podcast, nor were they screaming fans at the foot of the stage where Dane was bunning it down and turning every venue he appears at into Sheddington Crescent. Actually, I was doing some promo on Clara Hermit's show.
But it was Ori, wasn't... No, who was actually there?
Yeah, see, everybody was there. So we were doing the BBC London show.
Sure.
And showed up, and the homegirls are there. And I was like, my goodness, these are literally two of the funniest people I've ever met in my life. And I was like, insane. The bants, it was wall-to-wall bants. And
it was slight bully mentality.
Yeah, it was, but I think it came from a good place when you were bullying me.
It did. 100%.
Do you know what? We only bully the people that we want to connect with
and that we respect. Howard, sorry.
Sorry, Howard. It was a good test.
I think. Howard later.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone bullies me. That's fine.
It was a test. It's, you know, as a comedian, I think one of the biggest tests is. Sorry, lost my headphones. it's a test. I think that you know comedians should always be able to laugh at themselves first. So the guys came with the bants by the bucket load to be like, is Dane as cool as everyone says he is? And lo and behold, I was.
You really were. Super cool. And now that's immortalized on this podcast. So
that's right.
For the record, here we go.
It's worth letting listeners know at this point that there is some Chinese takeaway that these ladies have ordered that is sitting waiting. I don't know how you could leave that. I could not leave that for the duration.
It's like we're happy to be here, but like let's get on,
we've had an amuse bouche of chips and dips.
Yeah.
So you know, we've
I wouldn't really call that dip. I'd call that I call that simulated tomato paste, but
that's fine.
You know. And I like, tomatoes are already genetically engineered. Anyway, bananas weren't originally yellow, and carrots weren't originally orange, Howard. And we're going to find out more about these culinary secrets in today's show, or not? Who gives a shit? The point is, I'm so happy you guys are here. And some people say that your sweet and sour chicken balls become crispier when you leave them. You know, like when you open a bottle of wine. It's like if you take off the foil and let some air, let some air get to that. Let the air touch the MSG. Let those chemicals get percolating.
Yeah, the oxygen.
It'll be like fresh out the wok. You'll be like, oh my goodness, are we at, insert your favorite Asian fusion chef here? And then,
the answer is yes.
Well, Dane, I think it's probably time for a question as the format of this show dictates.
That's right. We've got Sweet and Sour Chicken calling, so there's no time to waste. Ladies, as our very esteemed guest on the show, we invite you to ask our first question. Any question you would like, and we'd like to discuss for 15 minutes, and then Howard would like to pose a question to you. We will discuss the here's a question for 15 minutes and some change. And by then, just before that chicken gets to room temperature, I'm going to ask you a question as well, which you'll answer. And when that's done, you guys will be ODing on delicious MSG, pineapple, sweet and sour chicken balls, and telling our good listeners where they can find out more about your good works. How does that sound, y'all?
That sounds heavenly. Like heaven.
Lovely.
Good. Lovely.
The floor is yours to ask the first questions, please.
Okay, so this is a really important question that me and Rhiannon ask ourselves and each other quite a lot. Constantly. Rhiannon?
How would you guys survive a zombie apocalypse?
Oh, we have been here before with Jamali Maddox, funnily enough, who I think you are a fan of. But
did he ask this? We have another question. Should we do the other question?
Well, I mean, let's see.
It depends. Which of your questions would you rather know the answer to?
Let's see both.
Because there's two of you. You guys can have both. Because you're the homies, and because I'm quite scared of the way you're both able to eviscerate my self-esteem, you can have two questions.
Okay. Shall I ask you the second question now or later?
Sure. Ask. Go away. Go and ask.
Go away.
Don't go away. Hold on to it.
That can be a second ask course. Away. Yeah.
I want to... I don't know how to phrase it, but it's to do with the simulation.
Mm-hmm. Are we?
Are we in a simulation? That's it, really.
Ah, cool. Are we in the Matrix?
I wouldn't even say
Matrix.
I don't think we're waking up anywhere else. This is it.
Yeah, but I want to do backflips, Rhiannon. I want to be able to do backflips, guys. So can we just have a little bit of Matrix simulation? Just a little bit.
You can have a little bit, just a sprinkling.
I'm concerned, because today when we were on the train, we observed people on their phones. And then Rhiannon was like, the phones are controlling us. And they're like making us more
robotic.
And then the phone, which is the robot, is getting more information and it's becoming more human.
That's true.
What?
Terrifying.
Yeah.
That's true. I think that's a very good observation you made, Rhiannon. I think if you pay attention to a lot of the divisions that people are observing on social media, I have said before that it's because we are trying to contextualize our arguments and our narratives along binary lines, because that's how artificial intelligence communicates, with zeros and ones. So the way we've now adapted that language is that when we talk on social media, someone makes a statement by like, I like this, and that's a one. And someone goes, I don't like this. And normally you'd be like, okay, you don't have to like it, but I do. But we now, because it's in binary code, interpret it as a zero, that if that person doesn't like what we like, we're opposed to them. So that's one of the reasons why we're observing so much division, because a lot of time with internet, you know, because we've been we've kind of been conditioned to respond on the internet with a limited number of characters, as well as emojis, as well as like in the form of polls, we have narrowed our breadth of ability to respond. So we've made it very closed in terms of saying yes or no when you answer polls, or when you answer questions on Instagram, or someone posts something and goes, do you think I should get this, yes or no? And it doesn't really leave us much breadth for discussion. So that's the thing, is that we are becoming more robotic in that sense, I think.
But the very specific way that you phrased it was, is this a simulation? Which I instantly think about the philosopher Descartes.
Sure, as everyone else is right now.
They do.
First name that comes to mind.
Our fans have just said yes, and they're like, yeah, us too. So like
hashtag Descartes every day. But do you know much about Descartes, guys? Because he was the bloke, French philosopher, who said, how can I be sure that I'm not dreaming? So all of my life could just be a dream. And that's basically where The Matrix and many other things...
Also the opening lines to Bohemian Rhapsody.
What is? How is can I, real life? Real life, yeah, very good. Yeah.
Do we have, like, are you allowed to sing that?
Yeah. Well, I won't get sued fully, as far as I'm aware. If you give me 5 seconds,
and I will.
I thought you had some kind of injunction. Did you offend a member of Queen? Like, Maria was like, "Are you sure you're allowed to do that now?"
I didn't mean like, does she have the rights? I meant
Maria,
like, could she hear
the notes?
Actually
Queen's lawyer.
Can you hear
the notes? She's very concerned. I haven't signed any contracts.
I am.
Okay.
It was something I worried about as a child. Yeah.
What, that you were always you're actually asleep?
I can actually. Yeah, I used to worry about that all the time when I was a kid. And I actually got really into lucid dreaming.
Yes, this is nuts, which I think is more proof of the simulation.
In my early 20s, I was really, I like kind of nailed it for a couple of years.
And I need more detail on how you nailed it. I need much more detail.
So it was the best time for me to do it was waking up in the morning and then going back to sleep. So I couldn't do it like at night when I just needed the rest. But it got a bit mad because I'd wake up in the morning and I'd be like, do you know what? I could just go and do something really, really amazing right now. I could go flying or I could go up and make breakfast. And quite often I'd choose to go and live in the dream for a little bit.
That's really impressive.
Yeah.
And that is a testament to Rhiannon's concentration and like dedication. I do not have focus for that.
Sorry,
and
how
I
old
never
were you? How old are you when you were doing this dreaming?
Like it was around uni time. Like 20.
Oh, fucking hell, right. That's pretty... I mean, I remember doing it as like a little kid, just when I wanted to
turn...
Yeah, I could
do it when I was little, but then I bought it back. I got back to the lucid
Maria,
dreaming.
Are you doing those... Are you doing a face which was like, this sounds exactly how the girl spoke in Paranormal Activity? Because I am.
I feel like... Do you know what I feel? I feel like these two are normalising this behaviour. I feel like these two are like, oh yeah, like I used to do that. Like how I used to go to the gym. I don't know. Like it's a bit weird, the normalisation
for lucid dreaming. Well, Rhiannon, could you elaborate on the lucid dreaming for listeners that might not be aware of how lucid dreaming works, please?
So it's when you go into a dream and you know that you're dreaming, so therefore you can control what happens in your dream. It's pretty wild. You can watch
simple
Waking Life, everyone.
It's kind of boring.
Easy example I can give listeners is when I was a kid and I used to have this reoccurring dream about being trapped in a zoo where there were giant insects in cages. And then occasionally when I realized I was in this horrible situation, I would lucid dream and suddenly Batman would be there and everything would be
sweet.
Yeah, that would be it, really. I don't even know if he got rid of the insects, really.
Have you never done this, Mia?
I've never had a lucid dream.
Oh, you need to.
I've never had a lucid dream.
Have you ever had sleep paralysis, though, Maria?
Yeah, so I actually get sleep hallucinations, which is like a step up. So I will wake up, and I think it's like at the point of maybe where I'm falling asleep, and I will wake up and I will see like literally a man or a small child or something scary in the corner of my room. And then I'll get out of bed screaming. Mm-hmm. And then by the time I'm out of bed, I'm like, oh, that was a dream. Or, which we also discussed today, I'm just haunted. We're not sure.
We're worried about that.
We are concerned. Mm. It's a concern.
Because apparently people are haunted rather than places. Have you heard that?
I think that is absolutely true. I think the idea of haunting and apparitions is more of a comfort for the living in order to them to have an idea that there is something tangible when they die. Because if you notice, it's like, how come no one died in the 70s based on like ghost films? You know, like ghost hunters. It's always, why are they always trying to find Victorian people? Like, people died in the 70s and people didn't just die in the war and in Victorian times. Like, how come no one died in a shell suit? Remember, shell suits were so flammable. There must be some dead people in shell suits, but you never see a ghost in a shell suit. Why do you never see a ghost in a shell suit? Why do you never see like a peeping Tom who was in a park? He got caught, ran away, got hit by a car. So how come there's no, like, you know, ghosts in trench coats?
Dane, it's taken me 120 plus episodes to tell you that I once went to Blockbuster as a kid with my friend Howard. I had a friend called Howard. As a kid, I've never told you before.
That's right. And we know that you were both the most popular boys in the school because the 2000s.
I bet they were.
Howard. How's it going, Howard? Yeah, obviously.
Were you called like Howard Squared?
Oh my God. No, sadly not. But Dane, you've gone quiet. quiet.
I was doing my breath from laughing at you and your friend.
anyway, the other Howard sat, as we went to Blockbuster Video to get a video, obviously. He sat on the radiator in his show suit and got stuck. He got burnt to the radiator and he had to get peeled out of it and he had to leave in his underpants, which was a real highlight
classic
of
Howie.
A shell suit.
Classic yeah. Howie.
You're so dark. You're literally chuckling away at this traumatic
thing. Well, because it was a shell suit.
It was funny.
Yeah,
the trousers fused to his skin.
I bet you Howie's listening to this right now having a horrible time.
Yeah, he's
great. I bet what happens is that people go, "Oi, Howie, do you remember that time you got your bum stuck to the radiator?" And he goes, "That was the other Howard. It wasn't me, man. That was Howard 2. You're Howard 2. I'm Howard 1.
Actually, the biggest joke is that I've actually always been living in a Fight Club simulation and there's just one Howard and it's just me and there's just two versions in my head.
But I think going reasonable. Back to ghosts, that they're proof that we're not in a simulation.
But I think they're proof we're in the simulation.
I don't believe in ghosts, and I don't think ghosts exist. But
because they're glitches.
There you go. But here's the glitch, because I think everyone has a theory that makes sense. And the reason why we all think we're in a simulation is because the human consciousness is made up largely of your subconscious mind and not your conscious mind. So the stuff you take in during the day, every now and again, there will be a glitch. I don't think this is a glitch that is made up of actual matter. I think that is a glitch, like you said, within your own minds, because we can haunt ourselves. So for example, whether or not we realize it, on a subconscious level, you are taking in images, faces, people all the time. And I believe these are the same people that populate your dreams when you're sleeping. Because if you think about it, when you're in a dream, like say you're walking down the street, who the fuck is the rest of the cast? You don't know. Your brain obviously makes a note of these subconscious people and then populates your dream with them. And then what happens then is that your mind is very capable of a metaphor as opposed to sending you direct messages. So for example, when we talk about haunting, studies of dreams show that the house or your home represents your body or your mind. So for example, when I had my first girlfriend and we broke up, it took me a very long time to get over her. And then I had a dream that she came at my front door and I wouldn't let her in. And I looked up what the dream meant, and it meant that you're over her because you will no longer allow her into your heart. So
basically,
I think that the simulation, the answer to that is that it's a simulation. I don't think that this is a simulation that exists outside of our own control. I think that as human beings, subconsciously, we are subject to suggestion and stimuli in our subconscious mind. And sometimes when our mind needs to tell us something, these things are projected to our conscious mind. So, for example, when someone has mental health issues like schizophrenia or paranoid delusions, it's said that what happens tends to be is that the delusions come from the fact that if you are a victim of trauma, being able to be calm and rested or be able to have a decent night's sleep, for example, is very difficult. If you are unable to sleep, then your subconscious mind and your conscious mind, the line between those two things becomes very blurred, which means then during the day when your conscious mind is awake, you will have visions suggested to you by your subconscious mind, which is in short, dreaming while you're awake, which is why it looks like a simulation. So that's my theory, is that the reason why everything seems like a simulation is because you are dealing with projections from your subconscious mind, which are a function of all of the external influences that you're not even aware you're taking in sometimes. So going back to what Rhiannon was saying about the phones and stuff, it's a very interesting one, because a lot of the time what your phone does is that it's able to, because when your phone turns off, like unlike old phones, there's no way you can tell it's actually off or that it's actually recording. So you might talk in your sleep, or you might be recanting something, and your phone is picking it up, and not necessarily getting a context of exactly who you are, which is why it's only able to suggest stuff based on only what you say, not realizing a lot of the time what we say belies our true thoughts. So you may make a flippant comment about something like, you know, your boobs, and then all of a sudden cosmetic surgery begins to appear on your timeline.
I think this is actually racist for Greeks. I constantly get nose job stuff.
And you know what? You know what?
Removal cream.
Absolutely. And you know what, Maria? I wouldn't doubt it, because when you're dealing with capitalism, especially, you're always going to be pushing people towards a more Eurocentric view. So if you have an algorithm which does reference your culture or your heritage, then these same algorithms will then trawl the internet finding narratives that go alongside that same. That's how an algorithm is formed, because it's trying to get all of that same information that might pertain to it. So in the same way that, you know, you put in like a hashtag.
Yeah.
Well, essentially what you're doing is giving parameters and goes to the machine and an algorithm. So then when you put something in, like your heritage or where you're from or reference or tag, then it's going to be able to troll the internet to find out your algorithm.
I feel like I've never done that. I feel like I've never done that.
No, but it's everything you do. It can be everything you do. It can be even these phones now, arguably, when you're using something like Snapchat and it has all those triangles that form your facial recognition.
Yeah.
Then, or you know,
my
how
God, it knows that I
or
need
even,
to know.
Or even, you know, the new, you know, the
that's
Pixar.
What you're saying. No, you're saying my phone knows I need to know.
It doesn't know. It'll tell you in these ones because, you know, when you go and you do like the face swap or you do like the Pixar things and then your face followed it, it's already taken a scan of your face and knows what you are already. So, and if you're talking and you even reference being sensitive about your nose or your appearance, it's listening enough to suggest it to you because, you know, that all capitalism and purchases and stuff and consumerism is largely motivated by shame. So this is now being the usual, the new way it's being able to be marketed to you. So I definitely think that there we are in a simulation, but that's because your conscious mind itself is a function of a simulation. And it's really your subconscious mind that deals with most of your thinking anyway.
That's a really solid answer.
Yeah.
It's a really good question though. And listeners, I mean, you can tell us about your dreaming stuff. I mean, I think there's definitely a line to be drawn between whether we are in a simulation or whether we are dreaming. I don't know.
And to survive a zombie attack, yeah, you need to get like a big jacket which covers all of your extremities, like your neck, so your veins and your pulmonary vein and carotid artery, where all the most blood comes from. Protect that and your wrists. So all of your radial veins, you cover those.
Yeah.
Access to fresh water. Double tap, and just keep running, bro.
Just to let you know, I've watched 11 series almost of the Walking Dead, and I can tell you categorically, if there is a zombie apocalypse, every human being that survives is going to turn into an absolute fucking asshole.
That's what Rihanna says.
Because I was like, you've got to be a certain type of person that wants to survive.
You're better off zombie.
Who wants to live in fear?
I think that I'd happily just, you know.
And we don't know whether maybe you get bit by a zombie and like, life is amazing.
A lot of human beings live in fear anyway, and kind of live like the thing about zombies, right? Is that the whole part of the zombie thing? Because George A. Romero, kind of the more modern zombie archetype that we see now, was created by that director George A. Romero, and the whole zombie thing is supposed to be an allegory for people that want to break free from the simulation. That's why they always go, That's why they always walk and they ask for brains because they're trying to elevate their consciousness.
Maybe we are in a simulation.
Can I just ask one thing quickly?
You've already asked two questions, Eli.
Just to do with the simulation, because again, another thing that Rhiannon said was she read a conspiracy theory that life doesn't exist before.
I didn't read this. I made this up. I'm the beginning.
I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Rhiannon has started a conspiracy theory.
Rhiannon 4chan. All right.
That life didn't exist before living memory.
Right. Well, that's complete bollocks. Thank you very much.
The rest is a simulation.
Yeah, that is bollocks, listeners, in case you
know. But you know what? It is relative and subjective because you can only chronicle reality from when you began to experience it. So that's why. Before you don't know of any other you. So the real question is,
exactly,
and that should be more comforting because you don't know where you were before you were here experiencing this form of reality, because this is only the reality we can understand based on the natural forces such as gravity. But if there has to be gravity, there has to be anti-gravity, and there has to be matter, there has to be antimatter. So it's not about where we are, it's where we came from as well.
Well, it's definitely been an interesting question to start this show off, hasn't it, Dane?
Loved it.
I have more questions now, but
no, whatever.
Just text me. What's wrong with you?
Classic Howie squared.
Start your own podcast.
In it, Maria. Burnt Batty Howard wouldn't do this.
In it. I wish he was still here.
Yeah.
And sadly, he died in the great cell suit.
Poor block bummer Howard.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
My question this week relates to our guests, and they are known predominantly for their expertise in the culinary arts, I'd say. If you go through their Instagram, guys, mam_sham_, I think it is, you'll find lots of food.
Could have learned that by heart, but
Jesus, excuse me, guys.
I've got a full-time job and look after a child.
You literally, like, do you know what? That was the least gassing up anyone's ever done. You were literally like, they're okay.
You can plug it at the end.
Guys, you don't know this. It's not your fault. It's just that the word underscore is a trigger for Howard. So,
sure.
Anyway,
I was going to say that I can see here recently you've eaten some kind of hot dog or something where it says a gusha juang lamb with orange pickled carrot and daikon, Korean barbecue sauce, coriander chutney and fried shallots.
I really like how you said shallots.
Yeah, thank you.
Not shallots, shallots.
And then when you joined this Zoom, you were eating Doritos and Doritos dip, right?
Yeah, we eat sleep.
So my question to you is this, and I take great pride in this question because I'm very opinionated about it. Why do we food snob, right? And that question goes in two directions. It goes in the direction of me looking down my nose at you for eating Doritos dip. Yeah. And then the other direction it goes in is people who would look at your post on Instagram and go, oh, look at their fucking pretentious hot dog scenario. Why do they think that? I'm just happy you have a fucking hot dog off the fucking guy down the train station
that's,
for me.
That's how an impression of angry gammon guys like, why haven't they got a hot dog from a burger van, eh? Brad comes there always in all these different cuisines and kitchens. You know, my day, women stayed in one kitchen. That's what's going on.
I won't bring gender into this at all. I will merely state that food snobbery to me goes in two directions. How do you feel about that?
Do you know what's really interesting? That, like, I feel like I'm, like, we're seeing a lot in, like, the food industry at the moment is, especially in, like, the London food scene, there's a real sort of appreciation for what you would think is, like, not good food.
Yeah.
So right now, like, I can think of, like, chefs who are, like, crushing up Munster munches and putting them on oysters, or, like, Black Axe Mangal, they do, like, foie gras donuts, like, donut being, like, probably, like, the more, like, average food, like, There's such a pendulum in the opposite side.
Sorry, Maria, did you say foie gras donut?
Yeah, foie gras donut.
You heard it here.
Foie gras donut.
If you want to look at their,
no, but
I do.
Their cookbook.
I definitely do.
But yeah, but basically, it's interesting because I think when it comes to like food snobbery, it's almost on a 360 in London, especially because I feel like it's so fucking nonchalant now. Like, look at all of these fucking dudes, like, with their tats, cooking on their show. They're all just there like, yeah, I'm just going to throw this together. I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to do that. Like, there's no sort of, like, thought or process into it, but there is.
Is that, like, the gentrification of those foods, though?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, is it being, like, you know, leave a Munster munch alone. Why does it now have to be on top of an oyster? It like being served to very trendy people that think that. I mean, like, I'm not dissing it as well. It's just like,
yeah,
something to think about. But it is that thing definitely of like anti the tweezers, pro the more like accessible foods, but done in a way that maybe makes them less accessible again.
Well, that's what makes it so interesting to me is that, you know, I like a sausage roll, right? Like, I like a sausage roll.
Oh, I love a Scotch egg. Scotch egg's my favourite.
But, like, I can get you. You could line me up now. We could, in fact, maybe one day we'll meet and we can line up 12 sausage rolls of London, right? And we can go all the way down to the bottom end, which I would say is the Greg sausage roll, right at the bottom end. That's not meat, even if they're saying it's meat. I don't know what it is. And then you go all the way, I can go into Stoke Newington and find a red onion caramelized sausage roll. And then, you know, somewhere up further up the end, I can probably find like an 8-pound sausage roll made of God. whatever it would be. But like, you know, and to me that's a good spectrum. And I don't look down on the really expensive one or look down on the really cheap one. But it seems that people love to look down on. Like, Dane, you've got good taste in food, haven't you? You love spending a few quid on food, I mean, right?
You really put me in the spot in front of the ladies, Howard. But yeah, I'll give it a go.
I know you really.
No, but I think I do enjoy eating a lot, which is a big part of the appeal of your page and the work you guys do. And I think I do agree with you. I think, you know, there are do you remember when burgers started getting quite gassed and like sesame seeds buns weren't good enough for people? So everyone started doing brioche. And then it was like, it wasn't enough to have an onion, you had to have a big old gastro onion ring in there. And the point at which burgers became so big and stacked and loaded that they need a big old pool cue to go through them so they stand up. I was like, it's now become more about the pageantry of the dish rather than the food itself. So I guess for me, the whole food snobbery comes from more the fact that people are really much more focused on the aesthetic and how that's going to be. And that probably comes from, again, remember, Instagram culture began with people taking pictures of the things they were eating. And so I think the market began to shift towards trying to create dishes that are more aesthetically pleasing without focusing on the practicality and in some cases the taste. So, I mean, I just...
I feel it infects my home life, Dane. Yeah. I feel it infects my home life, right?
And yeah, that's why
Well, that's why, not my wife, she won't care, but like, I look after most...
She's literally in the background of your screen. Is that woman behind
you? Hang on, listeners,
Maybe a simulation behind you there, Howard.
I look after most of the food in this house. Like, I cook most of the food and I bring in
look
most of
it.
Like,
as
in,
like,
you feed it from your feet.
Howard, you just walked into that one.
But like, I feel like there's so much press around food.
She hasn't even got the Ocado app.
Still digging, Howard. You are still digging.
I mean, you Howard.
I'm sorry, ladies. Howard is not aware. Howard, these two ladies could be ovulating right now, and you are talking all this grease about Tara. Please disregard his comments.
I'm not mocking my wife, listeners. I want to make
your
that clear.
My loving, happy wife.
She's a loving,
that other
happy
Howard
wife.
Is still out there. You could have been with him.
I bet other Howard's single as well, you know, just to kick him in the face as well.
100%.
He goes on dates and he goes away and he goes, before we go any further, I need to show you something. And the girl goes, why the fuck is neon pink stuck to your bum? Many years ago, I had an accident.
And I reckon he's got a really big fear of radiators. And so that really like gets in the way
his
of
house
him.
Is freezing.
Yeah, his house is ice cold.
I reckon that he's just got different coloured neon prints on his bum. And people were like, that's a cool tattoo, man. Like, have you been to Ibiza? And he's like, no.
He's going to seek vengeance soon.
But yeah,
tell us about your teat nursery.
I really want to tell you about my bloody wife now, don't I? I've been rinsed for the last week.
You know, like those automatic baby, like, rockers? It's like Waitrose.
So I'm literally imagining, like, a whole nursery filled with food. There's, like, the pot that has the little mobiles.
Oh, God. Anyway, I can't even really remember.
Food snobs, Howard, and sausage rolls.
Food snobs. And so in my house, right? So in my house, I bring, you know, I order the food, right? And there are times in my life where I can cook the food. Like tonight, I did a big tray of roasted vegetable and chicken breasts from herbs. Just a nice one pot thing, simple, nice.
Whatever. It's cool. We get it. We'll be over in 5 minutes. It's fine.
I'm not trying to impress you. I'm just telling you what happened to me.
I was literally there just a simple rosemary and thyme infused.
I've got lots that I could try and impress you lots more.
Howard, go and get them that truffle oil. Who do they think they're talking to, Riff? Are you mad? Go get the truffle oil, Howard, and show them.
Oh, fucking hell.
I bet
you
wouldn't
impress you. Trust me, I wouldn't pick my cooking. That would be the really low down on the list.
That's fine.
Right, anyway, so the point being, like, some nights I've got it in me to cook, and in some nights I'm like, okay, well, look, I don't. And we've got a child, he's a baby, like, it's hard. I've got a job at the moment that's very life-consuming. So I order ready meals, like, fancy, wanky, and overpriced ready meals, right, that sit in my freezer or my fridge. Charlie Bingham I would put into this category, but I would probably say I've got some that are more expensive than that. And I'm not showing off. I'm merely talking about the fact that I'm a food punk. No. I'm a bit of a food snob, so I don't feel like I can accept buying a average ready meal because I feel that's a bad thing. But then I'm in conflict anyway because I'm buying a ready meal. So that's almost the definition of food snobbery problems, is that, okay, it's a ready meal, so you can't take any credit. There's nothing to be respected about this meal. You just put it in the microwave for 8 minutes. I don't know. It's complicated. That's a lot of psychology.
Do you care about where your ingredients have come from? Like, do you care about produce?
Yeah, and I buy from my local butcher. I bought something from, I'm not plugging them, but anyway, All Plants, which I actually thought for frozen.
Who sponsored today's podcast?
They don't actually, but they're welcome to.
That's
a pretty good, has anyone tried that? It's a pretty good frozen, ready meal. I'm not recommending it as a lifestyle choice. I'm purely in a difficult situation with work.
When you say like a ready meal, what brands are we talking? Like, because for me, like a bougie as fuck ready meal is M&S.
Right, so I've gone above that.
I think there's more bougie than that. Yeah, but like,
I don't want more bougie than M&S because then I would just go out for dinner.
And also, it costs the same amount to.
So,
but how would?
So I've got my limit.
But that's a London luxury though.
There you go.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I've got a child, and the child, if I leave him and he's asleep in his house on his own, I could get in trouble for that. My wife won't leave him here. We can't do that. He's too stupid.
Can't you leave him with the shopping?
You would leave him.
Exactly.
He won't put it away. He'll just spread it around the house. I've got like a ready... I bought a chicken tikka masala frozen that cost me like £7 the other day, right? That's insane.
But like, was that from a restaurant?
That's insane.
No, it's like, from Ocado.
That's mad to me.
Because I really enjoyed in lockdown when loads of restaurants were doing like
restaurant kits.
That I could fuck with.
And they're still
Bleecker Street Burgers. That was good. I got a kit of that.
What did you guys get kits from? Top places.
Super Ramen. That was my favourite really one.
Nice.
We got Patty and Bun.
Just done one. Patty and Bun.
Nice.
Chicken Sours was good.
Yes.
We did quite a few.
We were fed quite well throughout that.
The ramen place, yeah? Do you cut all your own eggs and stuff?
Why?
Yeah. He does fudgy eggs.
He makes the noodles from scratch.
He does the broth from scratch. It's not even a Norse stock pot.
And also, I would say one of the best things about all these restaurant kits is I've stopped sending flowers to people.
When did you ever send flowers to people? You've never sent me flowers.
I have. I've got you flowers before.
You see that? You see that back there? That's an empty plant pot, yeah? From the flowers you didn't send.
Yeah, Rhiannon. But you have got a bottle of Fiji. Someone's doing well.
The bottle was almost empty. That's how I look at life. Since I didn't get my flowers.
Yeah, imagine being her best friend. It's hard.
Well,
we need some kind of conclusion here where I want to say to the food experts, what's the best way to cope with this problem?
Howard's rich man problems. Why are my expensive masalas so expensive?
Why do they make me feel guilty?
Making you feel guilty for the disgusting acts that you've done to poor Howard and the radiator.
It wasn't anything to do with me.
Each to their own, doesn't it? It's like, if you want to spend £7 on a masala,
also think we should pay homage to like what is supposedly not great food. Like, I love a scotch egg, but I don't want a fancy scotch egg. I like petrol shop scotch eggs. Those are the ones that do it for me.
I want the Greg's sausage roll.
100%.
Does it have to be a chicken egg, Maria, or can it be a different kind of egg? I think I had a mini scotch egg with a quail egg in it once.
I would fuck with that.
Yeah, that was this.
Yeah, I would eat that. But the point is it's like everyone's already fetishizing like working class food and like putting it into like Rhiannon said, like into oysters or whatever. And that's fine. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't pay attention to it in its unique and original state.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You've got to love the original.
If you can't have him at his zero, you can't have him at his 10.
But his zero is probably better.
One.
Quite often.
One, I don't know.
To further your point as well, Maria, because it's a really good point as well, yeah, is that like people understand that a lot of dishes that we eat are a function of necessity. So like I remember like a lot of comedians always go, how come they eat curry in India when it's so hot and the curry's hot? And they don't understand that obviously the long process of seasoning and marinating food in India is also to change the salinity of the meat to stop it from decaying or rotting in that kind of temperature. So that... Yeah, it's a natural preservative as well. That's why pies were made as well in this part of the world, is that the pie used to be airtight to stop anything from flying inside and ruining what was inside. So that's where airtight really pastries came from as well.
That's really good. Right.
Well, I feel like I've made myself into a kind of spectacle of food idiocy in this question.
Sorry, we did actually go in.
No, we did. I'm sorry, Howie.
No, I feel fine.
Expect some flowers or
poor Howie too. He had a question about food snobs and he was completely condescended upon by these mean dinner lady girls.
Yeah. Dinner ladies, nice.
I bet you that when this podcast is never going to go live now, you're going to cut us out.
No. We need the content. Dave, over to you for the final question of today's show.
Absolutely. Now, you guys are very clearly our good friends, as well as run a very good business together. So my question is to both of you, but here comes the scenario first. And the question is to both of you to answer individually. Mm-hmm. All right? So, okay. But I'm posing a question to both of you. All right. So, Rhiannon and Maria. Maria and Rhiannon. Rhiannon and Maria calls you and says, babe, guess what? This motherfucker asked me to marry him and I said yes. Right? That's the first part. So, Maria and Rhiannon's getting married and she goes, babe, before you even open your mouth, obviously you're maid of honor. Are you dumb? Now, second of all, listen, I've got to be real with you. He's got bread and he said, he wants you to be in charge of catering. We want an a la carte meal and I want you to pick all the dishes. All he wants to know is, what's it going to be?
I feel like I know this. Mm. I feel like I know this.
Planning your a la carte sit down meals before the speeches for each other's weddings.
For each other's weddings.
First of all, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And
congratulations to you.
Second of all, if he's really rich, just get pregnant. Honestly, I'm bored of working.
Oh, no, you're already pregnant. You're both already pregnant. Like, you know you're like. Oh, okay. So that's why you get married. Okay. But he's still got money, though. Sure. Yeah. Don't. Okay. It's like a whirlwind romance, isn't it? And he's like, he went out to Dubai to this dude dune buggying. Next thing you know.
Is he cute?
He's marrying your best friend. Of course he's cute. I mean, he's never going to be good enough. Anyway, let's not digress from this. But the point is, of course, he's cute. He's good. He's just about good enough for her.
Okay, so do I have to think of him in this three-course meal or is it just purely Rhiannon that I'm
You know you
about?
Don't want to, so no, you don't.
Okay,
have to
so I don't know why I asked the question. Okay.
Yeah, like, remember, your friend, after this day, guys, you're not going to see each other as often. So this is going to potentially be the last meal you enjoy together as Mamsham. Yeah, before you become Mam Sham plus husband.
Marriage ends life.
I don't think it ends life, but you know, it means you won't be able to have
someone else nodding.
Someone else won't be coming along.
Exactly.
Maybe you'll be like, yeah, we used to do this thing, Nan Shan or something. I can't remember what it was. Yeah, I can't remember her name. We used to know each other.
And it means that you have to, it just means that there'll be three people coming to Super Yar Ramen and some of that might not get all the private jokes. So that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay. So for starters, I'd probably do like, because money's no object as well.
Money's no object. So we need an explanation
for
each dish.
I know that Maria's favourite foods don't need a lot of money.
Yeah, but you know that I'm shallow. So like you've got
it's got to look good. Yeah. I think that's where a lot of the money's going to go is the styling. I think it's not going to be about the product. It's going to be about how it's presented.
Like I don't care about the insides. Well,
think of it this way. Like this is like you're going to use this this menu as a way of showing, as a testament to your friendship. So the dishes that you choose can have some kind of significance regarding your friendship. So it could be like, we're having this for the starters because we had this when we went here and it was one of the best times we went out.
Okay.
But money cuisine, nothing or courses is no object. You have it however you want because it's your friend. So wherever you want.
Okay.
First course then, I would get, it would be catered by that restaurant that we went to in Lisbon. Do you remember that incredible seafood place that we went to?
Ramiro's?
Yeah. And it was honestly like...
Heaven.
It was heaven, like we died. And I would get an absolute feast by them. And it would be very handsy, very like indulgent, like over the top. There'd be seafood towers.
Can I just say that I would like you to be by my side helping me peel
I'm
extra.
Peeling every peel for you. Okay, I'm good. Peeling every prawn.
You can't do it in the dress.
Like, don't worry about that.
Yeah.
I'll have a bib.
You will have a bib that will be tied like around the face.
Yes.
So it starts from the
head. Like a reverse veil. But like a reverse veil.
So you lift the veil.
And then the bib comes down.
Yes.
With the exactly. Design.
But there will also be something at the bottom of the bib to collect everything that falls.
Yes. And the peasants can eat that.
And that will
we're not barbarians, obviously. So
that will be fed to the husband. And I'll tell him that it's a really important
I love that. I really love that.
And when he, really goes, but Rhiannon, it smells like seafood. What do you say then?
I say, tuck in, bitch.
Tuck in, honey. Sit on your hands and knees.
And you go, rub it down. That's it. That's my dog.
That's my guy.
You know in America where they like have that weird ceremony where the man takes the garter off of the woman?
Yeah.
I would sit Maria in a chair in the middle of the dance floor
with a bit of calamari.
He would have to eat the seafood.
A big calamari ring around her thigh.
Yeah, huge.
On my big toe.
A giant squid. <toe. laughs>
All right, yeah, well, you've the caterers, okay. But you've got to tell us all of the individual dishes and stuff because I want to know.
It's a seafood platter.
Okay, what happens in the main course then?
Okay. Howard's hungry.
I feel like we'd want very similar things. Do you know what I mean? Like you're asking both of us, but I think that we...
Shall I do my starter and then we can agree on a main?
Yeah, let's do that. And then we'll agree. Yeah.
Okay, so for Rhiannon's starter, I would honestly, it would just be... So Rhiannon would be in the middle of the room and there would be...
A spotlight.
Okay, Rhiannon's in the middle of the room. A spotlight comes onto her. We slowly see cheese around her feet and you're inside a massive Dairyly Dunker.
Oh, yes.
And each Dunker is like human size and inside the Dunker is your husband.
What? Inside
the
Dunker. He may have died in this process by the sounds of it, but...
Why do you think I did that? They married. She got it now. So it's a massive Dairyly Dunker fountain and I'm there dancing around it.
Are my feet in the cheese?
Do you want them to be?
Your day.
Mm-hmm. That was a test.
No, I don't. I would say it's an immersive experience. I want to have like a few conceptual dancers running around as well. Yes. Like it's quite chaotic. But
it's like some kind of holograms or some kind of animatronic but edible pieces of cheese that dance around you.
Yeah.
That could be nice, yeah.
Like it's gonna be conceptual for sure. But yeah, basically.
Okay, so on the one hand we have a prawn prawn paradise, on the other hand we have some kind of cheese.
And dairily dunkable. Yeah.
Some cheese theatre, basically.
Yeah, cheese theatre.
There is a point with both of our starters, apparently, that we are solo in the middle of the room. Doing some fucking weird shit.
Happiest day of your lives. Yeah. How are we going for the main courses then? You said you both want the same thing.
I have a feeling that we're going to want something similar.
Why don't you do a 1, 2, 3 and say it and see if you say the same thing.
Okay.
Could break up Mansham now.
Just think.
I think I know.
Look into my eyes. You know who we are.
1, 2, 3. Chicken escalope.
Yeah, this is the end of Mamsham there, everyone, in case anyone was a fan.
Not even a Kiev.
Chicken.
Sorry, right. Chicken Kiev. I didn't mean a chicken Kiev.
It was close, though, chicken and chips. That was close. That was pretty close.
Chicken Kiev. Yeah. She said duck and pancakes. Rhiannon's is better.
Yeah.
But you can both have separate ones. I know that's what I want. So you have duck and pancakes then.
Yeah, quick dates. What do you mean?
We're getting married to each other. I'm the rich man.
I'm so confused.
I am the wealthy man.
That's fine. As long as the food's still there. All right, so we have pancakes for Rhiannon and chicken escalope and chips for Maria or the other way around?
I don't want chips. I would like mashed potato.
Side of mash.
And it's a Kiev.
And it's a chicken Kiev.
I think I got a bit overwhelmed. Sorry.
It's
a very special day. There's a lot of emotion on this day. So
it was a bit much for me.
I mean, your husbands have just died and now you two have married. So a lot's been going on. Death by cheese,
that little known appetizer.
Like hoisin sauce as well for you?
Oh, for God's sake. A plenty.
Like a fountain of it. So you could
I think there would just be like a running stream through the middle of the table.
Yes.
Like, you know, there's this place in Japan where it's got like a stream of noodles out.
Yes.
This would just be like a continuous stream of plum sauce.
Of hoisin sauce. Yes. Of plum sauce. Nice.
I think that's a really good idea.
And what about the Kievs? Because the Kiev's got the garlic butter filling. Is that also cascading?
No, it's our comfort food. And I think I have picked that wrong. I don't think that's right for a wedding.
All right, but let me tell you something, Maria, okay? Marriage is difficult, okay? And it's about in sickness and in health and for better or for worse. So,
and maybe the comfort would be good.
Yeah, maybe we made a mistake, but that's why your wife is there to pick you back up.
Will you take me back? Will you send me some flowers?
I'd appreciate it.
What she picks for dessert. Depends what she picks for dessert.
Shit, we haven't got dessert. I feel like you would just want more cheese, but we've already had cheese, so we're going to have to do something sweet.
No,
it's your day. Listen, your choices, guys.
A lot of tension.
You can have more cheese if you want, guys.
I think
we do want something sweet, though.
I think we want something sweet.
I think you want chocolate.
I think I might want mousse.
A chocolate mousse?
I want mousse.
I can see that for you. Again, a huge portion.
But I want it to be huge.
That's poured down from the ceiling.
From the gods on Mount Olympus.
In a huge squeezy tube.
Oh, that would be nice.
It could be like, you know, what are those things? Is it like in the post office or something?
What?
You know, with like those tubes where loads of post comes out of it. Do you know what I mean? And it's got a handle on it. You could have that, but with chocolate mousse.
Yeah.
And then you'd just be dragging it down the room. And everyone would get their
basically
portion.
You want it to be the same consistency, so some kind of like mousse extinguisher.
Yeah.
Like a fire extinguisher mechanism, but like a mousse, so you can just go.
We should hire Dane. Yeah. We should
that's
do
a
that.
Sick idea.
Yeah, I am actually really available for weddings. So.
Thank God.
Sometimes.
What, for organising the food or doing comedy?
I mean, those aren't mutually exclusive, Howard.
Hey,
that's literally what we do for a living.
You're like food or comedy? Both actually.
You literally did not do your homework. Sorry, but I know that you can get some really big guests, but just humble yourself for a moment, please, Howard.
I didn't do that. I know exactly who you are. Who you are.
Ma'am underscore Sham. What?
Is that do you think, because Howard is normally much more cordial? Do you think maybe their personalities were swapped in the fire?
I think that we've got the wrong Howard. And I think we'll only know tonight when he goes to bed and looks in the camera and like smiles.
Surrounded by his Ocado shot.
Howling.
His cauliflower pillows.
Wait, hold on. So me and Maria's going to have mousse. So you have mousse on tap. You got the mousse on tap.
Mousse on tap.
And Rhiannon, what are you going for?
I think you'd like a rice pudding maybe.
I could have a little rice pudding. A bit heavy though. I do want to do a lot of dancing.
Yeah, this is true.
Also, you had all that cheese. Your husband is going to have one stank honeymoon.
Gassy girl.
Yeah, I know.
Gassy girl.
Love you. In sickness and in health. That's for sure.
He will not be carrying it. I'll be there.
That's Maria's plan, to weigh me down.
Yeah. Nice. So she.
So you don't. So you don't want. You don't want a series. So we going. Are we going charcuterie boards then, or are you going for a actual?
I think charcuterie board doesn't. I mean, like, I would want more.
It doesn't scream opulence.
It doesn't scream opulence, unless maybe the charcuterie board's made out of gold.
It can be. Listen, it's your wedding. Money's no object.
Okay, so I want all the waiters to just hold each cheese, and I slice the cheese in their hand.
In their hand.
Nice. I'm that rich.
And their hands.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, guys. As the one of the four of us who've gone through this process, I'm going to share something with you and the listeners, which is to say, on that day, it's interesting looking back how little the food meant to me, and I'm someone who cares about food, right? And it's weird how I think a lot of thought goes into it, all the testing and the tasting, all that shit goes into it. But in the end, I think you're so obsessed with this day that you could literally just get a load of frozen Kievs out of the oven. And you know what? I'd be quite happy because I'm just happy to have this day.
Really. I don't believe you.
I don't believe that at all. That's absolutely nonsense.
That is bullshit.
I'm just happy to get married. What's the point then? What's the point of getting married unless there's a day to be opulent and ridiculous? Like, genuinely, what's
also,
the point?
You probably don't care about the food because it was good. If it was bad, you'd be really upset because I've been to a wedding.
Do you know what Hal's trying to do now? He's trying to make it up to his wife. And actually, we can see right through that. Because I'm telling you right now that if the catering was bad at the wedding,
who are these people you've invited?
Funniest people I've ever met.
Says the man who gets a £7 chicken tikka. Don't actually this nonsense.
You know, but can I also say one special thing about Howard's wedding as well? Is knowing that somewhere in the world there was another Howard who put on his clothes knowing he went going nowhere.
He didn't have the clothes.
He's like, we're still going, aren't we? And his wife was like, come on, Howard, let me put the dressing on. I don't need it anymore.
The voice you've given him.
Howard, what did you eat on your wedding day?
Shit, I can't remember. I know there was lamb. There was definitely some lamb for the main.
Okay.
There would have been a chocolate dessert of some kind. I can't remember what it was. This is what I mean. I genuinely don't think it matters. Look, this is just my opinion on weddings. Like, you can't. It all gets turned into this materialistic thing, and you have all these things that you're building it around. And then
because
in the
actually,
end,
weddings are set around such a loving thing of a man giving a woman to another man.
Well,
there's also same-sex marriage as well now, Maria.
Yeah,
but it's not what weddings are based in. It's not like that. That's not marriage. That's not what marriage was made for. Marriage was literally made for.
Let me give it. Try and give it some conclusion before we let you plug your.
Sorry, my bad, dog.
Right.
I'm sucking on a Dorito. I'm absolutely
to not make noise. It's the only day of your life where, if you're lucky, if you are lucky, obviously that you will have every person that you love and respect in one place.
Except Howard.
Except Howard. He's just at the window tapping.
Except old Bert Batty. Except Bert Batty. Bert Batty Howard.
We lost contact. What can I tell you? We lost contact.
Can we please do a follow up with him?
I'm finding Howard.
I could easily get. I've got his number right
what
here.
What does his surname begin with?
I'm not doing his surname in case it upset him.
If I lost 10% of my batty in a Blockbuster fire, I think I'd be a lot more forward. People would be like, my leg, and he'd be like, you got problems. Let me tell you a story.
Dane, ask them what they want to plug. Let me go home.
Well,
let him go. We've exhausted.
He's got a £7 ticket to eat.
Just to say, guys, now that you've seen the menus. Now you've seen the respective menus from each other. Are you both happy to go ahead with this, your respective weddings?
Only if the groom is Rhiannon and I'm the bride. Yeah.
This is just the menu for the next Mamsham, though.
Pretty much, but that works too, because every Mamsham event is like your own wedding day.
It actually is like
our wedding day. We always have a slow dance at the end.
It's a great cue to hear what you can tell our listeners about what it is that you do.
And where they can, when the next thing you're doing, I should say.
Mm. Yeah, so we basically do big events for lots of people of three courses inspired by three comedy acts. So you basically watch an act, you have your starter, another act, main, other act, and then dessert. And the idea is to bring the play. Yes, there's lots of immersive experiences out there, but we have a real sort of like emphasis on quality. So the food is made by like amazing chefs. We collaborate with amazing kitchens and our lineups are always 10 out of 10. We want more people to be having fun, eating, laughing and drinking.
And also, it's not pretentious. To go back to your thing about food snobbery, like we want everyone to feel
included. Because I think with like interactive dining, like you can either go like Heston Blumenthal, which is like very expensive and like not inclusive at all. Or you can pay £80 to watch some cabaret while eating a chicken parma ham. And that's just not good. So like we put so much detail into like what we do. So for like, I'm trying to think of like a good example of something that we've done.
Like Kojo Annan's dessert.
Which one was that?
So like he spoke about going first class, like flying first class.
Oh yeah.
And so we served everyone dessert as though they were on a first class plane. So we gave everyone like, we did a cold towel because it was the middle of summer and it's incredibly hot, but everyone got like a jelly Prosecco glass and like, we did earplugs, like edible earplugs, chocolate mousse actually. And they was all on white trays with the aeroplane cutlery and all that.
Yeah, and the menu was like the aeroplane ticket. So it's like using food and props to elevate what the comedian has just spoken about. So that the joke is kind of like continued. But yeah, we just want people to have lots of fun eating.
Howard, are you hearing how good this sounds for a show? Imagine if comedians joined Mamsham for a three-course meal, and between that, they discuss their careers and the like, and then they serve them this food, and they don't even know. Like,
don't say this in a public space, Dane. Someone will steal.
Howard wants to produce our show. Yay! Thank you, Howard.
Great. Oh, if only I had. You know,
Howard will be at yours in 10 minutes. Get the team.
Oh, such a shame. This episode's ending. What a shame. We can't talk about this longer.
No, but
there is actually a little bit. I've left it with my son for his lunch tomorrow.
But
none for your wife though.
None for your wife. She got to earn it, didn't she?
Isn't that right, Howard?
I'm glad you all enjoyed yourselves.
We certainly did. I'd like to say as well to listeners out there, definitely, if you have the time and the inclination, definitely check out Mam Sham's events. Great comedy and food, because they are fans of both. And yeah, if you like what's done on this podcast, then you'll definitely enjoy Mam Sham, because they've always been very supportive from the beginning. So thank you so much for coming on the show, guys.
Thank you so much for having us.
I hope the chicken's not too cold. I don't have to put it back in the microwave.
I will be invoicing you for the second takeaway that I'm going to have to get.
Listen, yeah, just send me the address and I will send you the set meal for two right now, bruv. But what I'm not sending you, I refuse to send you like anglicised Chinese dishes. Like, I'm not sending you any chips or spare ribs.
That's fine.
Yeah?
That's just fine.
Keep it real.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.